Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to talk today about the holy name of Jesus. Building on, we've been talking about the last couple of days about Christian identity. There's a battle for identity going on in the culture today, the secular utopian culture that we live in, always asserting itself over and against God, over and against tradition, over and against what's natural, all of this. And what's really at the heart of the deep struggles in our culture is resistance to God, to God's authority, to God's command, to God's rule and reign over his creation. Remember Father Francis Martin, who last year went home to the Lord, a great biblical scholar and a really holy man of God. He said to me once, he goes, Peter, always remember, there's a secret rancor in every human heart, you know, that resists God. There's a kind of anger and resistance to the claim, first of all, that I have to recognize myself as a creature, a dependent creature. I'm not radically autonomous. I'm not the originator of my own being and my own identity and destiny and all that. That there's a part of us in our fallen nature that just says, no to that. I'm my own master, right? I'm my self-creator. And I have to fight in life, you know, against everybody who wants to impose something on me. That's part of what's so alive in the culture, in the battle that's there. And back earlier in the month, we had a memorial. The church had a memorial every year. It's called the Memorial of the Most Holy Name of Jesus. We ask ourselves the question, how can we fight the battle and win more victory in our lives and the culture today? How can I lay hold of my identity and live in it with greater security and confidence and walk as a son of God, daughter of God, in a way that really makes a difference? Not in a way that I think a lot of people would say, if you ask the question, a lot of baptized Catholics, if you ask them the question, are you a child of God? They'd say, yeah. If you say, well, what does that mean concretely in your life on a daily basis? I think many people would have a hard time answering that question in terms of it making a difference on a day-to-day basis. So many people statistically live just like folks who don't know God at all. And that's not the right place to be. It's not God's plan and purpose for us. That's what I mean. Christianity means change, something decisive, powerful, transformational, life-changing happened when you were plunged into the waters of baptism. You were united to the person of Jesus Christ. And as Colossians tells us, all things were made for him, all things were made by him. Literally, you were made for Christ. You were made by Christ. His imprint is on you. And his spirit dwells in you now. And you are a new creation. And the greatest thing that could ever happen to you has begun. It's begun. You're a new creation. What that means is the God thing, the God story is unfolding in you with great power. You are now on the road to becoming a full partaker in the glorious existence that Jesus Christ has with God the Father, of total freedom, of joy, of abundance beyond your wildest imagining, absolute security, joy, identity, fulfillment, all of it, it's begun in you now. And we're going to receive it in its fulfillment at the resurrection, our own resurrection, God willing, if we die in Christ. That's why it's so important for us to be living in Christ, because if we're not living in him, we're probably not going to die in him. If we're going to die in the faith, we're going to end up separated from him, and just the opposite will happen. So on this memorial of the most holy name of Jesus, what a beautiful memorial. I love it. One of the passages the church chose for that day, for the reading for Mass, is Philippians chapter 2, which many of you maybe are familiar with. It's a beautiful hymn. Some of it's taken from the Old Testament, other things. It's a beautiful hymn ultimately to Christ, who Jesus is. And Paul begins that whole section of Philippians chapter 2, and he's concerned, first of all, that we be of one mind, that we think clearly and we think the same thing about what's most fundamental. And so I want to just begin, read what Paul has to say. He said, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection or sympathy, complete my joy. He's writing to those whom he loves in the community in Philippi. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. This is a Christian way of looking at reality. The world says, no, everybody's got their own mind. Everybody makes up their own mind. Everybody has their own reality. Everybody has their own truth. It's like the Tower of Babel. Paul is saying, no, you're born anew. You're born into Christ. And we all now take on the mind of Christ. And so he wants us, and he's exhorting us. He's saying here now, have this mind among yourselves. What is he talking about? He said, do nothing from selfishness or conceit. So walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to live in him, to put off the old man means to put off putting ourselves first and being conceited about who we are. But he said instead, but in humility, count others better than yourself. In humility. Humility, lots of ways you can describe it. It's like seeing ourselves in truth, that is who we are, that all we have has been given to us. We're not the source of it all. We're not better than other people. I mean, this is one of the things why Scripture says it warns against having too much money. You know, the love of money can be the root of all evil, because the love of money, money can do a lot to us. It can separate us from the herd. It can give us lots of power, lots of influence. It has the power to convince us that we're just flat out better than everybody. We are where we are. We've achieved what we've achieved. We've got this beautiful walled-in fortress of a home, and we've got it all going for us because, frankly, we're just better than other people. And Paul is saying, wait a minute, hold on. The temptation is for human beings to grasp at what separates us and makes us first and better. And he said, don't go there, because that's not where your master went. Don't think so much about yourself. Just don't think much about yourself at all. He goes on to say, think about God and think about others. He said, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Such an important turn here. Such an important thing for Christians to remember in this modern world. Who you are is you are dead to this world, and you are dead to sin and the habit patterns and ideas of this world that are hostile to God. That was all put to death in your baptism. You're dead to sin and you're alive to Christ. And your identity is a son or daughter of God. I'm Christ's. I belong to another. I don't have the freedom anymore to design my own reality. That fantasy was put to death in baptism. He goes on in verse 5, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, that is literally he is God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, to be held on to be held over others. Like, one way to understand this passage, there's a variety of ways to see it, but one of the ways is what Paul is getting at is to say, look, Jesus is literally God, the God-man. And he was so far above the greatest person humanity has ever seen or touched apart from him. He's so far above us, but he doesn't hold it over our head. He doesn't identify with his power. He doesn't set himself apart from us. But instead, he says he empties himself. He emptied himself. It's the word there, the Greek word is kenosis. It's self-emptying. He emptied himself of all his rightful claim of total authority and domination over everybody if he wanted it. He emptied himself and he took on the form of a servant. He became like you and like me. He limited himself and he became obedient. He goes on to say, he was being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. So he made a decision. It wasn't just a feeling. He made a decision to become what the Father desired him to be. And he took on human nature to dignify fallen human nature. And literally to save it, to redeem it, to rescue it, to transform it, to raise it back to glory. How did he do that? He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So how did that humility get expressed? In obedience. Ah, there's the fight. friends. There it is, right there. Yeah. Obedience is the hub. It's right at the center of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, because it was right at the center of his heart. Jesus said, Father, your will be done. Father, you want me to go and to let go of my power, my kingship, and identify with the creatures that I myself have made? Yes. He said yes. He became obedient, even to the point of death, death on a cross. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. There literally is nothing more important in this world than for you and for me to live in radical and total obedience to God. There's nothing more important for us to know than that. And whatever that means, that's who I am. That's what I'm all about. To the degree that my actions communicate who I am, that's who I am. I'm an obedient son or daughter of God. I mean, later, Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John so clearly, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's like Jesus saying, don't talk to me about love if you're not going to obey me. Look at the life I lived. I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. And how did I demonstrate that, he said? Through his death on the cross. Throughout limitless obedience. Jesus didn't draw a line in the sand at a certain point and said, okay, this is far enough. I've obeyed far enough. You're just asking too much of me at this point. You know, that kind of drawing lines in the sand happens all the time. In the church's teaching, you know, that we've received from Jesus. And it calls us to say no to certain things. Somewhere along the line, lots of us, there's a temptation, lots of Catholics draw a line in the sand. Hey, when it comes to something like contraception, for example, forget it. I don't agree. I'm drawing a line in the sand right here. Or for me to say that I can't live with the person that I love in this world, even though we're not married, and express our love for each other physically through sexual intercourse and the rest of it. I mean, I'm drawing the line there. I mean, I have the freedom to love who I want to love. I mean, you know what I'm saying. We're always tempted to draw a line in the sand, and Jesus said, uh-uh. If you want to follow me, if you want the freedom, if you want the glory that belongs to me, walk in humility. And so here's, I just want to read the end of this set of verses and then take it up in more detail tomorrow, because this is just loaded, and it's so good for us to meditate on it together. He became obedient unto death. Great question to ask myself. Am I willing to become obedient unto death, and to what degree have I actually become obedient in my life? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that is, every dimension of created order, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is where human history is going. God the Father will have it that every aspect and dimension and person and being in his creation is going to bend the knee to his beloved Son and acknowledge him as Lord of all. Lots to say about this. Hope you can tune in tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.